Father, we come before you and we put this time into your hands. We ask you to do what you want to do with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about faith for quite some time, and we've moved into faith and grace and how they work together to do things for us. Three types of grace that we're talking about. Prevenient grace, which brings us to the Lord. Saving grace, which saves us. And sanctifying grace, the grace that changes us. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Sanctification. Did you ever say or do something that caused you to hang your head in shame or embarrassment? Even if, yeah, me neither. Amen, brother. But I'm assuming there are people out there who have, yeah. Even if other people haven't saw it, you know. It may surprise you, but I have, and I have repeatedly. I've lost count. And I assume that there are countless times that my wife has hung her head in embarrassment over something I did or said, and I just assume that. There are things that we all do or say that make us realize that the things are wrong with us aren't the fault of anyone else. Our mother, our father, our friends, our enemies, our husbands, our wives, the Democrats, the Republicans, our neighbors, our co-workers. What is wrong with us is us. So this week I want to talk to you about the third thing that grace does for us. It sanctifies us. God did not convict us and then save us, just to leave us like we were, needing to be saved over and over again. God is sanctifying us, changing us, not to make us act better, but to make us be better. This week I want to take a look at what sanctification is and where it comes from. Because sanctification is why you are still here. Why we remain here after we're saved. There are only two reasons to be here after you know the Lord. One is to continue your growth in Him, and the other is to serve the kingdom. Other than that, you're better off in heaven. Sanctification is a gracious act of God that must be accepted by faith, because there will be times in your life when it will seem to you that sanctification is not occurring. There will be times when you will fully agree with Paul's assessment of his life when he wrote Romans 7:18-19, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willingness is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want." May sound familiar to you. If not, just keep on living. It will eventually. Because this is Paul that wrote that. A heavy hitter. And I am thankful that he wrote it. Because God doesn't throw us a life preserver every time our heads go under the water. God is teaching us to swim so that we can eventually face any wave, any swell, any storm, even the ones we make. God is making us more than conquerors. He is making us overcomers, and Scripture says, in this life. Overcomers and conquerors of our own will. God didn't just save us. He didn't just take us back to the Garden of Eden and wait for us to fall again. God is fixing us. As soon as he saves us, he immediately sets out to perfect us so that the ever-present tree of knowledge of good and evil will no longer present a threat to us. Sanctification is the process that makes this happen. Like salvation, it happens by grace through faith. Sanctification is one of those spiritual-sounding words that you never seem to use unless you're in church. It's like recompense or propitiate or supplication. You don't banter these words around on a daily basis. They don't come up during the Steeler game or while you're watching Duck Dynasty. So Webster says this about sanctify. To make sacred or holy, to set apart to a holy or religious use, to consecrate by appropriate rite, to hallow. To make free from sin, to cleanse from moral corruption and pollution, to purify. And finally, to make efficient as a means of holiness, to render productive of holiness or piety. All three of these definitions start with the phrase, to make, indicating that it's an act that one does to or for another. This is what God is doing for you. He is making you sacred, hallowed, pure, clean, and productive of holiness. It's your destiny. It's inevitable. Death, taxes, and sanctification. It's what you were predestined for by God Himself. Scripture tells us that we are new creations, new creatures. The old creature is dead. We are now the new wineskin that the new wine can be poured into. Problem is, we have to find ourselves acting a lot like the old one. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I've been crucified. I'm dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. They're dead. Behold, new things have come. See, once you're saved, sin is no longer what you are. Sin is simply something you do. Romans 7:17, and never be satisfied with your own theology until you understand this verse. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, speaking of sin, but sin which dwells in me. Wow. Put simply, sanctification rectifies what you do with what you are. The new creation despairs over the old creature's lingering remnants. We now feel bad when we sin. The stuff that is no longer us still dwells in our flesh, and it troubles us. What was once openly accepted as common is now rejected as being foreign. When we drag the corpse of our old self and display it to all to see, it vexes us. The old man is dead, but when we dig him up and cart him along with us wherever we go, we smell rot. I don't know if you've ever smelled a human body after a while. You will never forget it if you have. It can seem to be impossible to break the chains that fetter us to the decaying flesh of our old selves. We tug and we pull at the chains, yet frustration appears to be the only tangible result of our efforts. It's when we realize that we are shackled to the chains that bind us by nothing more than our own steely grip that we can turn to God for help in opening our hands. I don't want to be the old me, what I made me, anymore. It wearies me. I want to be what you have made me. I want to be what I am now. Those of us who love and serve the Lord can never be at peace with what the world is at peace with. We're not meant to be. We can't be better at being them than they are. Sheep cannot be at peace with being goats. They must be what they are. When we present and display our old selves to the world, to the church, and to God, it troubles us and them. It burdens the spirit that dwells within us. However, this troubling of the soul is the first step in loosening those chains that attach us to our old dead self. Like Paul, our hearts are burdened by our choice to cling to what this world has taught us instead of what God has taught us. When we were goats, we had no choice but to act like goats. But now, we freely choose to act like goats, and we know it. We know we aren't what we should or could be. And Scripture is very clear about what that is. I'll read them to you one more time. It's been a while. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to all the congregations of the son of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 27. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Exodus 19:6. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of God. Now, in Ephesians, Paul addresses the same subject. The only difference is Jesus Christ has come. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. You know, you can read the three Old Testament verses and see the phrase you shall as a command, which it is. But thanks to Paul's writing, you can also see the phrase as a promise.
You shall be holy. You will be. Built into the requirement, as always, is the provision for it. Paul says that before the earth was here, we were chosen to be holy and blameless before him. It says we would be holy. Not just that we must be holy. It's not just a command. It's a promise. This holiness, this sanctification has a purpose. It leads us to something, to our adoptions as sons to himself through Jesus. Isn't this exactly what Romans 8 says? I tell you this all the time. This Ephesians backs it up word for word. One more time, Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. And these who he called, he justified. And these who he justified, he also glorified. It's a plan. Think of it this way. All things work together to sanctify you. Sanctification is God conforming us to the image of his Son. He's doing this for a noted and defined reason, so that you can be a brother of Christ and a joint heir with him in all things. Prevenient grace is what brought you to repentance. Justifying grace is what saved you from the things you repented of. Sanctifying grace is what prepares you for what is coming for you, being glorified. In verse 3, Paul told the Ephesians that God blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Don't just read over that. Think about it. Every blessing in the heavenly places. What God has predestined us for, he has prepared us for, so that the unfettered blessing of God will not pollute and destroy us as it did Lucifer. Sanctification is what prepares us to be the sons of God and the heirs of God. And the thing is, you can't sanctify yourself. No more than you could save yourself. Romans 7, 21 through 25. Paul goes on, talking on the same subject. I find in the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. And remember, this is Paul. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, my spirit. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members, in my flesh. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I find myself with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. Here Paul tells the church in Rome about his struggle against his flesh, calling it a war that he concluded he isn't capable of winning. His failures have taught him this. He states he's been taken prisoner by the sin that is in his flesh, and prisoners have few choices. He knows what's right, his spirit longs to do it, but his flesh, his pride, and his will fight him every step of the way. He's in despair, calls himself wretched, because he cannot see a victory. The things that he wants to do, he cannot do. He calls himself wretched. Paul then asks and answers the question that all of us who have ever been saved by grace have asked, who will set me free from what I am so that I can serve God? Paul thanks God through faith for what he knows is happening, even if he can't see it all the time. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. Paul fully believes, he has faith that God is sanctifying him through Jesus Christ. He knows that his holiness is being crafted and created by the Word and the Spirit of God. He knows about God's plan for his sanctification, and what he knows calms his fears and his frustrations. He's not at peace with his sin. He's at peace with God's plan for him. It gives him hope for tomorrow and every day after, despite what he sees. Paul has fully accepted that he could not save himself and he cannot sanctify himself, and he faithfully accepts what God is doing for him, that he's doing what he could not do. This faith gave peace to Paul, a peace that defied what he knew about himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. The God of peace sanctifies us entirely, completely and perfectly. It is he who called us to be holy, and it is he who is making it so. The reason we can have peace is because we have faith in God. The reason we have faith in him is because he is faithful, and he has proven himself to be so every day of our lives. He called you to be holy. He will bring it to pass. Who brings your righteousness to pass? God does. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by the offering, by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." He did it. John 17:17, Jesus speaking to God about us. "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." The same forces that saved us, grace and faith, sanctify us through the sacrifice of Christ and the power of his word as revealed by the Spirit of God. There's nothing here about sanctifying yourself. Jesus is asking God to sanctify us through his word. That's how powerful the word is. It changes you. It sets you free. It is the truth. It's what allows you to be what you now are. Truth perfects us. It has real power to change our lives. It sets us free from the power of flesh that we're at war with. And your part of this is very simple: wanting it and seeking it. And God will cause this to happen. The blood of Christ permits this, his word, to sanctify us. It gives the truth a place to anchor in our hearts. In Acts 26:18, Paul is talking to the king, King Agrippa, about what Jesus told him in his vision. Paul said he was told to open their eyes so that they would turn from darkness to light, that they is us, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. If Paul could not sanctify himself, then it's clear we cannot either. And if we cannot sanctify ourselves, and sanctification is required, we have no choice but to have faith in God to provide it for us. Faith that believes that God is changing us despite what we see, despite what others say, and despite what our enemy whispers in our ear. If you'll remember from the first temptation, remember I told you every sin, you can go back and look at the first sin, and you can see how sin works, no matter what sin you're talking about. Because after he talked them into sinning, the first thing he said to them was, "Why did you do that? You can never be forgiven for that." God is methodically and consistently molding you to the image of his son. He does this at his own pace in accordance with the plan he has for you. A plan he has to prosper you, not to harm you. God's plan to sanctify you is your plan. It is personalized. He knows you and what it will take to conform you to the image of Christ. It was different for each of his disciples, and it is different for each of us now, but it is the same result. So what do? We have faith in him and his love for us. We do the things we're commanded to do. Read the word, fellowship, pray, and worship. Then we wait on the Lord to do as he promised. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago, I told you, waiting on the Lord isn't doing nothing. It's doing the most important thing you can, trusting him. And it is one of the hardest acts of faith there is. It's easier to have enough faith to cast a mountain into the sea than it is to wait. Psalms 46:10, one more time. "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease striving with who you are and know that he is God. "And I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on the earth." He says, "Know that I am God," and then he gives you a little hint of who he is. "Know this about me. If I want it done, it's getting done." Have faith in it. When you find yourself in despair over your failures, when you can't bear what time and situation has revealed about your old self, stop fighting. Stop thinking about what you are. Start thinking about who he is. He is God. Put your weakness in the perspective of his power and ability to help you. He will bring what your soul desires to pass. He is setting you free as I speak by the power of his mighty hand. Every moment of your life, not one second has been wasted. He has been conforming you to his image the entire time. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. God has chosen you for salvation from the very beginning through sanctification that comes from the Spirit of God and faith in his word. Accept who you are, but also accept what you're going to be. Know that. When the remnants of what you were overwhelm the peace of what you are, learn to see God's hand and realize that the despise you have over your own thoughts and actions are part of the process. Because God doesn't change what we do. God changes what we want. This changes what we do. How does he change what he want? How does he sanctify us? Through trials, through failures, through frustrations, by letting us have our own way and learning from it. Because brothers and sisters, I'll say it again, we earn what we learn, and we earn it the hard way. We change when we desire to. It is the hand of God who brings us to this point. He does this because he loves us, and whom God loves, God disciplines. Sanctification is hard. It is painful. It is perplexing. But it is worth every tear and every sorrow. No pain, no gain. Count it all joy. There are things I have been fighting in my life ever since I knew Christ. And it frustrated me. I felt wretched. But I've learned. Go to bed, get up in the morning, count it all joy. Gird up your loins and go out and fight the fight. And let God do what he does. There will come a time when you will get to grow tired of getting away with sin. And then you will want to get away from sin. This is sanctification. In that moment, from getting away with to getting away from is when sanctification occurs. Next week, we'll take a look at how we're sanctified, what he expects from us, and how it's completed. And I leave you with this for next week. I just want you to think about this. From Psalms 119, 74 through 75, 119 is the big chapter, the biggest chapter in the Bible. You know why? Because it's about the Word of God. That entire chapter is about God's Word. And here's what it says. David speaking to the Lord. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I have faith. May my faith make them glad. Sounds really good. Then he says, I know. See, his faith has become fact. O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Not how we expect it to happen, is it? In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. Think about it, and we'll talk about it next week. Amen.